The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 20 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Adela Langwin, and here are today's headlines. Quebec puts billions into fighting the next pandemic, cleaning up the St. Lawrence, and Liberal MPs split over Anglo rights. When COVID-19 hit, we were left scrambling to find vaccines and other health materials. Quebec says it won't be caught unaware again, and it's spending $1 billion to back up its words. Here's Lola Cadler with the details.
With a budget of $13 million to spread over the next 2 years, Éric Girard explains Médicaments Québec's three-step plan, which is due to launch this fall. All that we do is so that our economic weight becomes more important than our demographic weight. Robert Frank, a political analyst, discusses the potential of Médicaments Québec for Quebec not only as a province, but also Canada as a country worldwide.
We're really looking at priming the pump for what is already a global center of excellence in one of a couple of dozen around the world. And it would just allow Quebec and Canada, by doing so, to adopt an even greater position of leadership.
A position of leadership which is more significantly anchored by the collaboration of both health and financial sectors of Quebec, as explains Christian Dubé. And just like marriages from the beginning, the collaboration between health and finance is an important pact we must reinforce.
The deadline for the Canadian-US border is approaching on June 21st. The Canadian government is in no rush to reopen, though, as there is still concern over COVID variants and keeping transmission rates low. There are talks for a phased reopening of the border in July or August, but as of this month, there is no plan to reopen. It's not just Canada who's racing to get people vaccinated against COVID-19. Countries across the world are facing their own challenges in fighting the pandemic. Anna Marie has the latest on the situation in Ecuador.
On Wednesday, June 16th, a total of 500,000 Sinovac vaccines arrived to Quito International Airport. The Ministry of Health of Ecuador has received almost 5 million doses in June to confront COVID-19 pandemic. At a national level, Ecuador has over 3 million people vaccinated. This means 18% of the 17 million people in Ecuador have been immunized. The Ecuadorian government aims to achieve a goal of 9 million people vaccinated until August 2021. Monica Hernandez, a 64-year-old housekeeping assistant, is getting vaccinated in June 20th. I want to get vaccinated so I don't get infected with COVID virus and also because I don't want to die. The vaccination process is very important for Ecuador. Epidemiologist and global health specialist Juan Mateo Espinosa explains why.
The importance of the vaccine in Ecuador is that, especially due to the context of how the outbreak happened over here, and we had in Ecuador had one of the most fastest contagion rates, more than any country in the world. So maybe that is perhaps the most important reason to make, you know, accelerated vaccination campaign.
Reporting for Concordia News, Ana Maria Lopez from Quito, Ecuador.
The Quebec government has a new vision for the St. Lawrence River. The government plans to put almost $1 billion into improving the river. Kathleen Gannon joins us now with the story. Kathleen, there's a lot of help for communities along the river.
Yes, the Avantage St. Laurent project is adopting port infrastructures that will benefit the coastal communities, increasing access ideally to the St. Lawrence River projects that are intended to benefit the local workforce. These efforts are pledged with a promise to protect maritime settlements.
So it has been in the works probably since day one, since we got elected. It was one of the deepest promises of Mr. Legault when he was elected.
Right, and how much is it all going to cost?
Well, they have projected a $926 million budget from the government and its partners. From that $926 million are $545 million that will go to short-term projects that will help the economic recovery in these coastal communities associated with the downfall of the pandemic. Plus, there will be $100 million over the next 4 years to offer maritime regions development opportunities.
And how long is this all going to take?
These plans span a five-year timeline. though the short-term projects are set over the next 4 years, but the Legault government has hoped to see these changes implemented by 2025.
All right, thank you so much, Kathleen. Next, a new residential construction project launches today near Place des Arts at the Patrimonio Fidel building at the heart of Corte del Spectacle. Duncan Elliott joins us live from downtown. Duncan, just how big is this project?
The project is a large $100 million one that will take a long period of time to complete. It will involve many workers and many organizations.
And what are some of the issues facing the project?
The initial issue was the long planning period that it took, and also the challenges for why they're investing money into constructing new buildings while there are still older buildings that need renovations.
And how come the city has invested so much into the project while other issues seem to be lagging behind?
At the presser, the director did not want to push the issue too heavily. He wanted to focus more on the positives, and therefore we cannot ask him any interview regarding the subject afterwards.
All right, Duncan, thank you so much for that. All right, a report by AVA Canada asks Canadians about changes in their lifestyles due to the pandemic. 31% of Canadians are considering relocating, and of that percentage, a third plans to move to semi-rural or rural areas. Affordable housing and moving caused 29% of unplanned buying and selling, but the pandemic has caused 64% to wait on buying, selling, or renting. The COVID-19 pandemic has proven to be difficult for all businesses, yet KMPG reports that family-owned businesses have performed better than small and medium-sized enterprises. Here's Alexa Constantin with the story.
Faith and Love, a Montreal-based fashion brand, has seen their business affected by the pandemic. There were no more events. Restaurants were closed, so it was difficult. I never felt a stop, but sales were diminished. The government helps too. We were lucky, but inevitably, revenues were diminished. Businesses like this one have been able to stay afloat because of their resiliency and flexibility. I was able to rely on repeated customers, and I've been on Shopify for a year, but it was more of a tool. Instead, people began reaching out to me on Instagram, where we were able to curate a personal experience. KPMG reports that family-owned businesses are positioned to become the driving force behind the Canadian economic recovery. The economic slowdown allowed family businesses to look beyond immediate impacts and toward a more sustainable future. Alexa Constantine, Concordia News, Montreal.
The Mohawk Council of Kansetek was surprised, but Police Quebec is planning to reestablish an Indigenous police force. Talks are coming in after a massive party in Kansetaki record blocking off the highway and breaking COVID-19 protocols. The community has been without a police force since 2004, yet discussions hope to create trust and more input by the Mohawk. Parliament passed a motion yesterday agreeing that Section 45 of the Constitution allows Quebec to amend. 9 Liberal MPs abstained from the vote, all from the Montreal area. Sarah Dixon spoke with the political analyst Ethan Cox, who says it's no surprise that MPs broke ranks.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much about what you would have expected. I don't think that's too surprising. It's about what you'd expect from them.
Is it normal for Quebec MPs to abstain from voting in a direct Quebec issue like this?
It's normal for MPs to abstain from voting when they don't want to vote. Obviously this was something where these MPs felt pressure from their constituents. It's not that unusual for MPs to abstain from a vote. It's not too unusual.
Do you think the MPs will have any repercussions in Quebec?
It's unlikely. It's really mostly a symbolic motion that doesn't have a lot of impact on people's lives. The Bloc will certainly try to make it an issue in the next election, but the MPs you're talking about represent extremely safe Liberal riding. It's hard to imagine that there would be consequences to just about anything they did in the next election.
And what are your thoughts about the a post on Journal de Montréal actually posted each specific name of the MPs? Is that also normal, or is that?
Sure, that's fine. I mean, that's how the system works. There's nothing more public than how an MP votes in the House of Commons.
Do you think it will cause any issues within the Liberal Party because they voted against?
Well, the Liberal Party is a big tent. And I think these type of things are things that they're happier to just sweep under the rug sooner rather than later.
Today in sports news, Montreal's Felix Auger-Aliassime won against his childhood hero. The Euro matches are still going strong, and the Habs win the second match of their semifinal series. Here's Yara El-Swali with all our sports news.
Armia, Corey Perry in control. Edmondson, he'll snap one off. It's blocked, the rebound. They score! Yoel Armia! Right on the spot, and here in game...
This was the first goal of the evening, scored by Joel Armia, as told by NBCSN. The Habs came in strong yesterday, winning 3-2 against the Las Vegas Knights, bringing the semifinal series 1-1. The highlight of the match wasn't Price's saves, but Jeff Petrie's return on the ice after an injury he had sustained to his hand during match 2 against the Winnipeg Jets. Unfortunately, his eyes gathered much attention from fans as they were badly bloodshot. People made jokes, going as far as wondering if Petrie had sold his soul for a win. He still played an important part in the game with 2 shots, 1 assist.
Good save so far here. Another test coming now. It's turned in. Ukraine take the lead.
You're hearing ITV's announcer reacting to the first goal of the day at the Euro Cup this morning. Ukraine won against North Macedonia 2-1. Both teams had already lost their precedent matches, making this one decisive in order to get to the next round. Unfortunately for North Macedonia, the loss marks the end of their Euro adventure.
A win for Felix Auger-Aliassime against his great idol. The young Canadian continuing to showcase his qualities on the grass courts.
Yesterday, ATP broadcast Montreal's Felix Auger-Aliassime's win against Roger Federer at the Halle Open in Germany. Auger-Aliassime surprised the crowd by beating his longtime childhood hero. Auger-Aliassime was glowing at the end of the game. This wasn't the first time they played together. Federer had invited Auger-Aliassime to train with him in Dubai years ago. Auger-Aliassime spoke about his admiration for the Swiss tennis superstar and credited his win to lengthy hours of studying him.
Thanks, Yara, for the sports news. And on St. Dominique, a video surfaced of a rap video shooting getting cut short when the police arrived after a 911 call. Police were called in to the scene after armed individuals with guns in the area. After finding where the rap video was being shot, the police found guns being used were actually fake. Make sure to enjoy today's sun because rain and storms are coming for Friday and Saturday. The sun will be back on Sunday with temperatures to be around 28 degrees all weekend. Next week, Monday and Tuesday will also be rainy, but the sun will be back for the rest of the week. For Concordia News, I'm Adela Langwin.